Spencer and Tanya. That was truly a blessing. Thank you so much for that. Thank you, mothers, for everything that you do in our lives. And hopefully you've already been made to feel special this morning, and I hope that continues. I hope the spoiling continues today. I found this I thought was interesting that I wanted to start off with. It says, the great preacher, Dr. G. Campbell Morgan, has four sons, and they were all preachers as well. Someone once came into the drawing room when all the family was there, and they thought that they would see what Howard, one of the sons, was made of, and they asked him the question, Howard, who is the greatest preacher in your family? Howard had great admiration for his father, but he looked straight across the room and then, without a moment's hesitation, answered, Mother. So you know who the best preacher in my home is. Who do you think writes all my sermons? You know, there are many mothers in the Bible that we know by name. You know, we know Mary as the mother of Jesus, who a virgin conceived him of the Holy Ghost and gave birth to the promised Messiah. We know barren Hannah as one that longed to have a child, and she vowed to God that if he gave her a son, she would give him back all the days of his life. And from that we got the prophet Samuel. We know Sarah as one who laughed at the thought of having a son in her old age, and yet God blessed her with Isaac in her 90s. And I'm sure we could probably go through the Word of God and find woman after woman, these mothers that we know by name, but this morning we're going to look at a mother whom we know not her name. Now, this woman is not the mother of a patriarch or a prophet or the prophesied Messiah, but she is special nonetheless. This mother was a mother of great determination. She was a mother of great resolve. She was a mother of great persistence. And she was a mother of great faith. You know, we see her determination shine through in the fact that she was a Gentile woman, and more specifically a Canaanite, who still went to the Jewish Messiah and sought him out. We see her resolve in the fact that she was persistent or would persevere even though the disciples would try to shoo her away. We would see her persistence that even Jesus challenged her about trying to obtain a blessing from the Jewish Messiah, even though that she was a Gentile. And we see her faith, and that she was believing that even the Jewish Messiah would heal her Gentile daughter. Now, I understand today is Mother's Day, and we can sometimes, I think, men think we have the day off. But hopefully, we realize by now that when it comes to the Word of God, we should never have a day off. How often do we preach about men in the Word of God? Does that mean the women get a day off? No, obviously not. So just because we're talking about this faithful, persistent, determined mother does not mean as men, as fathers, we get a day off today. We need to embrace the fact that there is a testimony that we need to glean from this morning, and a testimony that no matter we are father or mother, or man or woman, or teenager or elder, that we can just cast aside. It's a testimony that we should embrace and challenge ourselves with this morning. First, we see that she was a stranger. She was a stranger. Looking back in our text, verses 21 and 22, it says, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and beheld a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievous and vexed with a devil. Let's stop right there and pray real quick. Dear Lord, I thank you again for our time here today. I thank you for the opportunity and the privilege that we've had today to celebrate mothers. But Lord, now I pray that we would kind of switch gears on worshiping you and allowing your word and the Holy Spirit and the testimony of this mother of great faith to really challenge us this morning. I pray that you would continue to have your hand upon me this morning. I pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. Speak through me this morning. I pray that something said this morning might be a blessing to one that is eager to hear. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll continue to have your hand upon us as we continue to worship you. We love you and thank you. We say this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this mother came to seek out Jesus. You know, Jesus and his disciples traveled about 50 miles to Tyre and Sidon, these two cities that were port cities on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, and they were known for their trade. They were also in the area of Phoenicia. And in Mark's gospel in chapter 7, we see him refer to this particular woman as a Greek, but then also a Syrophoenician, which that means that she was a native of Phoenicia, but then also she was part of that region, that area that was from Roman province of Syria. So we know her as a Greek and a Syrophoenician, but in Matthew's gospel, she is referred to as a Canaanite. Now we'll expound on that and the importance and the magnitude of that here in a moment, but in either case, she was a stranger to the commonwealth of Israel. She had no relation to the Jewish religion. And when we really stop and focus on that for a moment, we will see the magnitude of this miracle. How amazing it is that this Gentile woman would go to the Jewish Messiah and seek his help. You know, Tyre's trade was very well. They were very profitable. The profits had continued to increase. So Jesus goes into this city with a message that is not welcomed. This evil and materialistic culture had just crept and consumed their society. And when you really stop and think about it, we probably can really relate to that here in the United States of America or even in our own world, because we can see where this materialistic culture has just consumed the society. It's all about how much money you can make. It's all about how many cars you owned, or how nice your car is, or how big your home is, or how much is in your bank account, or how much you have in the stock market. And so as we see this culture has really consumed our society here, we probably can embrace the challenge that is presented before Jesus and the fact that he's going into this Gentile area with a message that is not welcomed. Because I know many of us today go outside of these doors, and maybe it's in our neighborhoods, or maybe it's in the workplace, or maybe it's just rubbing elbows with strangers in the store or in the post office, and we have a message that is not welcomed. There are many in this world that are just consumed with materialism or sin, and they embrace it and they grip it with both hands, and they don't want to embrace the truth that Jesus Christ came and he died on an old rugged cross for our sins. The gospel is something that we must continue to share in our lives. And I know that we live in a culture and a world that's gripped with this materialistic mentality, but we also have to embrace that the gospel is a message that should continue to be preached, always be preached, but then always to be shared as well. I know as believers, we can sit there, well, that's pastor's job. He's an ordained minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's his job. It's all of our jobs to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, even though it's among a culture and a society where the gospel message is not welcomed. But guess what? The gospel still saves. And we have to believe that and trust that and realize our importance here is to relay a message that may not necessarily be welcomed. And that's something that Jesus had to embrace, was the fact that this was obviously a situation, a city where the gospel message would not be accepted, not be welcomed. So when we're looking at this woman here, there's no specific or spiritual relationship that would draw this Gentile woman to the Messiah. There was nothing special. There was no particular reason for her to display the raw determination she exercised to get her case to Jesus. There was no tie there. There was no special relationship. There's no special bond there. And in Mark's gospel, we see that Jesus here, he originally went into a house discreetly, but that this determined mother saw him out. Turn to Matthew chapter 7, if you could. Keep your hand on our text, of course. Mark chapter 7, starting in verse 24. It says, "And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into a house and would have no man known it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose younger daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek and a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter." So Jesus could not be hid in this house as this determined mother sought out the Messiah. And I'm sure that's probably something that every mother here could relate with. Every mother here could relate to having that same type of determination and resolve when it comes to their children. To reaching out to the throne of God on behalf of their children in prayer. Or doing whatever necessary to help their child. And I'm sure every mother in here could relate to the resolve and the determination of this dear woman. I found this from the Moody Monthly that I thought was interesting. Now this particular lady has you beat by one. It says, "There were 6 boys and 2 girls in the family. So her life was a busy one in the home. She was just as busy at the church, teaching a class, superintending the school, and active in all social life of the church. And through all of her work, there rang out an infectious laugh that chased the shadows from other lives. She is now in glory land, but the other day, her life was brought back to me afresh as I visited the home of a daughter. She was recalling with pleasure the olden days, and the one thing that made a deep impression on her and that was told with evident pride was that no matter what time of night the children came in, her mother was always sitting up waiting for them. She would not go to bed until the last one was in. Sometimes the boys tried to play a joke on her by taking off their shoes and sneaking up the stairs in their stocking feet, but they would hear a voice saying, 'Is that you, Bill? Is that you, Walt?' No matter how tired after a day's work, she would wait until every child was in. That waiting mother is a picture of deep concern for the children, and her unspoken thought was, 'Are the children all in?' I would rather imagine our generation needs a revival of motherhood like that." So Matthew refers to this Canaanite to bring further attention on the amazing impact of this miracle. Now because the Jewish readers would easily be able to recall the fact that the Canaanites as enemies of Israel. So I think that's the importance there of Matthew highlighting the fact that she was a Canaanite. But yet, this determined mother sought out the Jewish Messiah. Jesus showed this mother compassion and rewarded her faith even though she was not a Jew. Second, we see that she was faithful. Going back to our text, in Matthew chapter 15, she was faithful. Starting in verse 22, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out the same coast and cried unto him," "saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. We're going to come to that here in a second. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." But verse 24, but he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs." And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." You know, this mother passed the faith test. She begins this test with expressing her misery to Jesus. And I'm sure many a mother in here probably can quickly recall of a time when your child was in misery and you quickly reached out to Jesus. Cried out to Jesus. Expressed your misery that your child was going through for or to Jesus. You know, I heard something recently when it came to pain. That whether pain happens emotionally or physically, in our mind, it processes it the same way. So I know a lot of times we may go to the Lord if our child is going through maybe some sort of health issue or physical pain, and in their misery we may cry out to God. But we also have to remember, according to this scientific study, that even the emotional pain or the mental pain that our child is going through, in our mind, it processes it the same way. Sometimes a heartache or being hurt emotionally or in our heart can actually be more painful than something physical. How many of your children have you seen so distraught about something that they just feel like they can't go on? Or you got a hurt leg, you get some crutches, you keep going. So I'm sure many of a mother here can recall a time where you expressed your misery or the misery that your child was going through to the Lord. And we see here this daughter was possessed by a demon, and yet this Gentile woman seeks help from the Jewish Messiah. Now we know here from verse 22 that she does believe that he is the Jewish Messiah. In verse 22, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out the same coast and cried out to him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil.'" So we know that she believed that he was the Jewish Messiah, but it's interesting here as we go to verse 23, Jesus' response. What was his response? His response is that he didn't have one. He did not respond to her. So it made me think about the question, why? Why didn't Jesus initially respond to her cries for help? Well, there's two beliefs in this particular passage. One belief is that Jesus was wanting to see how the disciples would handle this situation. Would they look at this Canaanite woman with compassion and love and do what they could to help get her to the Messiah? Or would they try to shoo her away like she was a bother or an irritant? Well, we see the answer to that question. They said, "Master, Jesus, cast her away. She's bothering us. She's bothering us." Now, before we go throwing the disciples under the bus, we do have to recall the fact that Jesus did advise the disciples not to go into the way of the Gentiles in Matthew chapter 10. So if you'd like to turn over real fast, if not, you can stay in our text and I'll read it real quick. Matthew chapter 10, we see that he did advise his disciples to not go into the way of the Gentiles. Matthew chapter 10, starting in verse 5. It says, "These 12 disciples sent forth and commanded them, saying, 'Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and to any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.'" Well, here we heard that already in this response to this Gentile woman. In verse 7, "And as ye go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" So before we throw them under the bus, we have to realize, you know, he did get some instruction not to go into the way of the Gentiles. But to Jesus, it was more important that we be compassionate. And that was a lesson that the disciples really had a hard time getting to embrace, was that they needed to be compassionate, even over those that were maybe less fortunate. And Jesus, you know, we have to be careful as believers that we don't find ourselves struggling the same way as disciples, where we won't be compassionate to those that are less fortunate. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 25:40, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me." So as believers, we are supposed to treat those that are maybe less fortunate to us like we would treat them if they were Jesus. Do we do that? Or are we kind of like the disciples? I'm just kind of, "Oh, you're bothering me. Don't bother me." We need to be open to the Holy Spirit's leading in our lives when it comes to helping someone that's maybe less fortunate than we are. But others believe that this was, going back to original, his not responding to her cry, others believe that it was a test for the mother, a test of her faith. Well, we know that Jesus is God and he's omniscient. So he obviously knew that her faith would break through to discouragement. So why the test? When you think about God and his sovereignty, why does he test our faith? He knows that we are either going to pass the test or we're not. So why, if he knows that we're going to pass the faith test, do we still have to go through the test? Well, it's because that's how we're going to be developed. Just like as he's pruning or purging away those branches so that more fruit can happen, well, that's the same reason why we're tested in our faith, even though he knows if we're going to pass the faith test or not. It's so that we can continue to develop in spiritual growth and spiritual maturity. So Jesus knew that she was going to pass the faith test. He knew that her perseverance was going to persevere and her determination was going to give her victory over any discouragement she may go through. But we have to realize that we can never truly know where we are in our faith walk until our faith is tested. Until our perseverance perseveres through the discouragement. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, it says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, thou now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." We're going to be tested in our faith. We're going to be tried so that ultimately our faith grows, we grow in spiritual maturity, and ultimately we bring glory to the Lord. That's the mindset behind the testing of our faith. But then in verse 24 here, Jesus responds in a way that seems to contradict the gospel message for all people. Look at verse 24. Now back in our text, if you went to Matthew 10 with me. Verse 24, "But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." So in other words, it could be translated, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And if we were going to look at that in question form, it would be more of, would you have me go beyond my commission? Now again, this really seems to be another opportunity where he tests our faith, but we have to remember where this conversation's taking place. It's taking place in a Gentile territory where he's on a mission to Gentile people, but it's also important to note that this is not the only time Jesus ministers to Gentile people. You know, yes, Jesus' first ministry, his first priority was to the Jewish people as the long-awaited Messiah. But God also wanted the message of salvation to the rest of the world. 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." So that we know that, you know, the gospel message is for all people, not just the Jews. So we see here that she was a lost sheep, but she was not of the house of Israel. But once again, her faith shines through this discouragement. Verse 25, it says, then she came and worshipped him. Now again, this is right after, he tells her that he was set only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And that her response is, then she came and ran away from him? No, worshipped him. She worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. You know, Jesus again, going and continuing in this conversation, would make another statement that would seem to cut her off from hope. His next statement here would seem to cut her off from the blessing, as he again emphasizes that he's there. His mission, his priority is to the Jews. And there's a statement that would seem to drive her into despair. Verse 26, and he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And that's why I believe the mentality that this woman had, this mother had, I believe is the reason why mothers are so cherished. Why mothers are so adored. Because we've seen that, whether it's from our own mother or maybe a woman that has stepped in for a mother. Maybe it's our wife. And we've seen how they respond to the difficulties that our children go to and the sacrificial love that they express. That's why they're so cherished and adored, because it was only a mother's love that would continue to get him or get her through these discouragements. To get her through the challenges that she was going through. Now, looking at the word dog there in verse 26 and 27, the dog was a term used by the Jews applying to the Gentiles. It was utilized as a word mostly because of their paganistic worship, but then also just because they weren't Jews. I mean, we in our culture probably can relate. There's a lot of different races where we've come up with other words to describe them, and many of them are not flattering at all, just as this one wasn't. But the term there, dogs, was applied from the Jews to the Gentiles, mostly because of their paganistic worship. But as we look at this here, it seems like maybe Jesus is kind of following suit, but he's not. What he's doing is he's actually contrasting this Jewish attitude with his own. You know, this woman understood and believed that Jesus was the Jewish Messiah, but then also believed that as a Gentile, she could still receive God's blessing for her daughter. And something else that I think we can glean from this lady here, this wonderful woman of great faith and perseverance and determination for her child, is the fact that she didn't allow pride to creep in. I mean, you think about what Jesus is saying to her. How many would be filled with pride? How dare you call me a dog? You know, I said, I'm taking my ball and going home. No. This woman, in all humility, appealed to Jesus for the crumbs. You know why that's important? Because accepting the crumbs from Jesus is far better than anything this world has to offer. And she wanted the crumbs from the Messiah, the crumbs of blessing. Third, we see that she was blessed. Matthew chapter 15, verse 28, as I finish up. And then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. You know, this mother received Jesus' blessing. Her faith was commended by Jesus, and her daughter was healed. Her faith said, Israelite or not, I am not going to give up until I receive the blessing. How determined are we? Are we determined to keep knocking on God's door on behalf of a family member, a friend? Keep knocking. and say, listen, I'm going to keep knocking until I get the blessing. How persistent are we? Maybe there's somebody that needs to know Christ as Savior. Have we given up? Maybe it's been 5 years, 10 years, 20 years you've been praying for them. Have you given up? Or are we going to continue to knock on his door saying, I'm not going away, Lord, until we receive the blessing? So hopefully we will continue to learn from her this perseverance and persistence in our own prayer life on continuing to go to the Lord on the behalf of someone else. And I'm sure every mother here can identify with this mother, of which we know not her name. We know that she was a Phoenician. We know that she was a Canaanite. We know that she was a Gentile. We know that she was a mother. We know that she was a woman of great determination. How she, as a Gentile, sought out the Jewish Messiah. We know that she had great resolve, that even though the disciples tried to shoo her away, she stayed persistent in reaching out to Jesus. We know that she was persistent, that even the challenges that came from the Messiah, she continued to strive and push to overcome. We know that she had great faith, that she believed that even the Jewish Messiah would heal her Gentile daughter. And we also know that she received God's blessing as her daughter was healed. And as I started, we talked about the testimony of many men. And we go through the Word of God, and more times than not, we probably talk about men in the Bible and really challenge ourselves through their victories and trials and tribulations in life. And we take what we can glean from their testimonies, and we try to apply it in our own lives. But hopefully we've embraced the fact that the testimony of this Gentile woman is one that we should continue to allow to challenge our lives. And not let anything get in our way from seeking Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you again for our time here today. Lord, I thank you for your word.